You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. And now it's time for our weekly COVID-19 update with FM89 health reporter Carrie Klein. Last week, we talked about Kern Medical's plans for expanding its capacity in the event of a surge. And this week, we hear from two other hospitals with creative solutions of their own. So, Carrie, welcome back.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks.
First, how has the Valley fared over the last week?
So again, not very well. COVID-19 case counts, hospitalization, deaths are rising across the board. In the last week, the seven counties in our coverage area reported 48 deaths and close to 6,000 new cases. And we're now starting to use some of the overflow sites in our region. Both the Kern County Fairgrounds and Porterville Development Center have seen their first patients in the last week or two. And I've been noting a change of tone among county health officials. Both Fresno and Kern offer regular calls with the media and the public, and both of them are expressing very serious concern about hospital capacities, and they are imploring the public to avoid gatherings and to follow social distancing and masking requirements. And some of these counties have banded together and created a valley-wide website. And that is, it's a site to find some basic information about the disease, about symptoms, what to do if you think you have it, and where to find testing. It's pretty helpful. And so the website in English is valleycovidhelp.com. In Spanish, it's ayudadelvallecovid.com. And then the last big thing is that there was a big change in testing strategies statewide. Governor Newsom and his team announced this earlier this week. There's been a tremendous backlog in testing, many people know. And now there's a tiered system for who will be given priority. And that's a priority for testing, but also for processing. And so the people who get the most priority are those who have symptoms or frontline workers like doctors, EMS workers, things like that.
Wow, that is a significant change.
Mm-hmm.
So can you walk me through some of the news from the counties in our area?
Right. So if we go through it briefly, so in Fresno County, county health officials have changed how often they're reporting data to their data dashboard on the county website. So there's just so much data to sort now as case counts rise. And for the sake of accuracy, they're now only updating case counts twice a week instead of every day. Most counties still do report every day, and not everyone reports on weekends, some do. But anyway, that's one big public-facing change if for those who are actually looking at the data dashboards. In Kern County, Kern is no longer on the state watch list, which means that some of the governor's restrictions from earlier this week don't actually apply. So gyms, churches, salons, businesses on that list, they can stay open until the governor restricts those for all counties. In Kings County, last week, the first death was reported at the state prison in Corcoran. So the Corcoran case count had risen sharply in mid-June, not as high as some other prisons like Avenal, but the case count had gotten under control, but you know, tougher cases do remain. And so there have been four deaths at Avenal and one at Corcoran. In Madera County, cases continue to rise sharply, though no records were set in the last week. And in Merced, county health officials are working on some prevention campaigns that target Spanish-speaking communities, and that involves distributing information, hand sanitizer, and masks at some places like flea markets and in migrant farm worker communities. In Tulare County, they are slowly needing to close county offices after employees test positive. This week, it was the Porterville and Lindsay district offices, and in the past, it's been Tulare Works offices in a number of communities that have had to close. And in Mariposa, the best news in our area is always in Mariposa. The case counts are rising there, but very, very slowly, and still only one person has died this entire time.
I love how you always end with the best news.
Yes, yes.
Which unfortunately, there's not a lot of this week. So last week, we talked about strategies hospitals are using to increase their capacity. Kern Medical, for example, is planning to hire traveling nurses and get permits for more beds. What have you heard from other hospitals in the last week?
Well, so one big new arrival this week is teams of military healthcare workers. As far as I know, this came on very quickly. The emergency agency FEMA reached out through state emergency services to offer staff to individual hospitals earlier this week, and three in our area have accepted, and that's Community Regional Medical Center in Fresno, Adventist Health Hanford, and Cahuilla Delta Healthcare District in Visalia. Each one of those will be getting a team of 20 people, which will include critical care doctors and nurses, respiratory specialists, and others. Here's Cahuilla Delta CEO Gary Herbst on the move.
They're all highly trained and experienced and working in critical care areas. And so they will be arriving as a reinforcement team. They'll be deployed to our 21-bed medical ICU, and we will give them a patient assignment where, you know, it might be 6, 7, 8 beds or patients that they will take care of then.
And Herb said that these deployments were officially considered missions for these service members.
That's so interesting. How long is this deployment for?
Well, the contracts were signed for 30 days, but there is likely the possibility to renew beyond that.
Okay. So that will increase ICU staff at some Valley hospitals. And then you also found another creative solution for capacity issues involving Valley Children's Hospital.
Yes. And part of that hospital's surge plan includes taking on pediatric patients from other local hospitals. And that's in order to free up space at those other hospitals for COVID patients, because the majority of those are adults. They can't be treated in pediatric wards. And so far, Valley Children's has been working with other local hospitals, but they could accept patients from elsewhere in the state. And that could include ICU patients or kids with less severe issues. Here is Chief Physician Executive David Christensen.
It can be any patient they would like to send us. We are available. And then depending on the need, should the pandemic get worse and more is needed from us, we can increase our age group. You know, we normally see patients up to 18 to 21, but we would increase our age group to, let's say, 30 to help offload some of those hospitals as well. But if worse came to worse and the pandemic continued and all the hospitals were full, we would do what we need to do. And we would accept adult patients at that point.
We've been hearing that hospitals across the area are becoming inundated with patients. Does this mean that Valley Children's has been faring better than its neighbors?
Relatively, yes. Christensen says that they've definitely seen pediatric COVID cases, not enough to threaten the hospital's capacity, but the numbers are increasing as the rest of the state surges. You know, because we know that COVID is typically less severe in kids, and many are even asymptomatic, but there are still serious cases, and some are serious enough to land kids in the ICU. But also another note is that, you know, some of us may have heard of a very rare, very serious inflammatory disease known as MISC. It's something that affects kids who are exposed to COVID-19. There have only been around 1,000 confirmed cases of this worldwide, but Christensen says they have seen a few cases at Valley Children's that appear to be that disease.
And of course, we're talking about options for schools this week. Does David Christensen have anything to add to that debate?
Actually, yes. You know, he knows that he can't make recommendations in the capacity of a county or state health agency, but he says that the risks of kids picking up the disease and then carrying it either to their teachers or elderly relatives are very real. Here's what he has to say about that.
Our goal right now is we need to control this pandemic so that we can get back to our regular lives. And I know people are anxious to move fast, but we've seen what happens when we jump the gun. You know, we've had a flare-up because of that. And for most pediatricians, although we understand the importance of getting back into school, we think that at this time, the current environment with a pandemic flaring outside would make it just too risky to do so.
Well, this is all so helpful. Thank you, Carrie, for the update.
Thank you.